Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Theme song for our friend FF, as I call him, Father Frank Devone, National Director of Priests for Life, who is heading to the Walk for Life West Coast. Father, so much to talk about, and I'm trying to get as much in as possible.
Yes.
You are so involved in these beautiful pro-life events around the country and the world. You're very involved in the March for Life, organizing so many different events, including the prayer breakfast and other really great events, the Silent Lemoore Awareness at the Supreme Court, going into the Walk for Life West Coast, Priests for Life, Silent Lemoore will be all over the place, which is just awesome. And so we get media coverage. Finally, and what is it? It's media coverage because you have a young student wearing what the world sees in many cases as a controversial hat, and all heck breaks loose. I feel the young man has handled himself extremely well, and he's 16 years old, for crying out loud, maybe 17.
Yes.
And put in a very terribly difficult situation, called every name in the book. His family's had to move out of their home, death threats. Your response to this craziness that has ensued since Friday?
Yeah, I sent out a tweet shortly after this story broke, and I've put the focus of the tweet on the group that was protesting there. Well, first of all, this was the March for Life was over at the Lincoln Memorial, right? So people have to understand.
Yes.
That's not where the March for Life happens. This group was waiting for their bus. The March for Life was over, but I put my focus on this other group that was protesting over there. Okay, that started taunting them, and on the African-American gentleman that walked up to them. I think we have to start there. What in the world were these people doing to those students, and why? That's the whole crux of the matter. And, you know, as you and I were discussing before the program, if those students were not wearing MAGA hats, which, by the way, I have one which I proudly wear, okay, Make America Great Again. I think we have one of the best presidents we've ever had, certainly the best pro-life president. If they weren't wearing those hats, then the prejudice, the rash judgment, the hatred that so many people automatically leap into in regard to President Trump, his administration, and everything that they stand for, including pro-life, would not have happened. I want to zero in on these people. Who was this group that was protesting there? Who is this man, Native American? We don't have any prejudice against blacks or Native Americans. We want to know, why were they taunting those students? What is wrong with them that they, if they hate President Trump, well, then let them just come out and say it and stop all this nonsense about, oh, this group of kids, you know, Catholic students at the March for Life wearing MAGA hats. You know, and I said in my tweet, it's those other protesters that need to take a hard look at abortion and what it is, because it's abortion that brought these students there to Washington, and by the way, that inspires a lot of us to rally behind President Trump. They have to take a hard look at what abortion is, and then they should be praising these students for standing up and coming to Washington to protest it, as they should be doing.
The comments have been coming in that they shouldn't have been wearing. There's actually some priests even said this. There's no place for the MAGA hats.
No,
at the March for Life.
That is wrong.
First of all, we don't know. Well, let me make this statement. You and I know, being in Washington a gazillion times, that all these kinds of hats are sold everywhere. When Obama was in office, they were everywhere, on the street corner, in the airport, and in any shopping mall you go in if you're in Union Station. Now, he said he bought it, you know, from a street vendor. Why is it that the MAGA hats can't be worn? But when you walk through the March for Life, as you and I do every year, you see all kinds of political persuasions. Nobody says anything about the hats anybody's wearing.
That's right. And we have to be very careful, especially as a church, that we don't start talking about things, you know, like the other side talks about them. It's the other side that tries to dumb down our free speech. It's the other side that tries to squelch, you know, political speech. It's the other side that tries to put mandates limiting what we can and cannot say, what we can and cannot wear, where we can say it, where we can wear it. There is absolutely no problem with the MAGA hats. There's no problem with a priest wearing one. I do myself. There's no problem with any citizen wearing one. And if we say differently, what the heck happened to the First Amendment, much less freedom of religion? Because it's our religion that is at the bottom of motivating us to stand up for life, to stand up for truth and for justice. And, you know, when it comes to your concrete political choices, people will differ in terms of what platform, party, or policy they think best implements those principles. But that doesn't take away the fact that at the root of it, you know, we are trying to, as best as we can, discern how in our concrete circumstances do we stand up for what we believe. And these students profoundly believe it. Nothing of what they said or did or wore on their bodies or their heads should be called into question here.
877-573-7825. If you have a question or a comment for Father Frank Vivone, you'd like to talk to him about what's been developing since Friday afternoon after the march. I mean, when we walk through the march, we see all kinds of things. I saw a lot of Democrats wearing hats, Democrats for Life. I saw a lot of signs, really cute signs that said, "Make American Babies Great Again."
Yes.
And they had little babies with like the Trump hair, which was really cute. You see all kinds of people, even with political hats, like for Democrats, Republicans, people who are running for this, that, and the other thing. Nobody says anything to them.
That's right. Yeah, again, it goes back to the hatred and prejudice displayed by these other protesters. That's where the focus should be. I mean, this young man who is now speaking out behaved in an exemplary way. But where's the focus on that group that was there beforehand, and on why this Native American man, Phillips, I believe is his name, why is he marching straight up into the face of a high school student banging a drum? I mean, that first of all, that by itself is questionable behavior. And
the thing that really frustrated me is that's very intimidating.
He's a
16-year-old, and then there's a grown man, an elder man,
right,
who's banging a drum. Just someone getting in your face is very offensive. I remember actually last year, I think I told you this, we were about to interview Bishop Daniel Thomas from Toledo, and I ran into the bishop at the airport when we were talking about this, and we were standing there with the bishop and seminarians behind him, and all of a sudden this man that came up, and he seemed to be a little bit intoxicated. He wasn't a part of the march, and he was very large, and he came up right in the face of Bishop Thomas.
Yeah.
And we were all kind of taken aback, but he diffused it right away.
Yeah.
And calmed him down and said, you know, I'm sorry for whatever you're suffering. But he handled it beautifully, and
yes,
the man walked away. But it was extremely intimidating. I mean, we're all adults.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now this whole incident just shows it's all about knee-jerk reactions and prejudice and rash judgment, this whole incident, including knee-jerk reactions from the folks on our side of the issues.
Oh, it's like, I think, Father, to me, that's even worse. It's bad enough to get it from the outside, but then these poor young people, right away, before even the full videos were seen, that 1 hour and 46 minute video, you have the diocese and the school calling for expulsion if necessary.
You know, and it shows a couple of things. I mean, we're in a climate here, first of all, again, of a lot of prejudice, especially against the Trump administration. We're in a hypersensitive culture about racism and anything like this. I mean, racism has been used now as the battering ram for everything that you disagree with. And then, on top of that, we've got this culture of immediate response, you know, and it's fed, of course, by social media. And I'm not saying social media is a negative thing, but it's you know, you're the first person to get out the tweet, and it's an immediate news cycle, and it's just the pressure to say something right away and to get out ahead of a developing story. I mean, we're all, it's understandable, we're all going to be prone to make mistakes, but it's also an opportunity to learn something. You know, you got to make sure that you step back and don't jump to conclusions until you have the facts.
Exactly. Let's take a quick break, and if we have anyone who wants to chat with Father Frank, 877-573-7825. When we come back, we'll ask him his opinion as we move toward the big West Coast Walk for Life, what might happen this weekend and how people who are going can be prepared in a prayerful way. 877-573-7825. It's a Thursday. We're chatting with Father Frank Vivone from Priest Your Life. Yeah, I'm thinking that this is going to be modus operandi now. And when people see the response they received,
mm-hmm.
Nathan Phillips went to the Basilica on Saturday. Did you see that?
No, on Saturday. The next day.
It's on my Facebook page. Next day he went with a group of protesters and tried to get into the 7 p.m. Mass.
Ah, there you go.
And he's reading a statement and demanding this and that, from Covington and everything else and from this church.
You know, yeah.
I'm so sick of it, Father.
In any case, I got my Facebook audience joining us once again so they can promote your program.
I'm just so frustrated. I really am. Hi, folks. I'm very heartsick. I mean, I'm getting some of the most vile, and I've said this on the air, I'm getting some of the most vile emails and comments from people, and these people are claiming that they're Catholic. It's just...
Vile in the sense of being against... against the students?
Yeah, I called everything in the book. It's just, yeah. Mm-hmm. And these are Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this is also going to be a preview of what this 2020 race is going to be.
It's going to
be crazy. Yeah.
But I just don't understand, if everybody else can wear their hats, why can't these kids wear their hats?
Well,
I don't even know if they wore them at the march. I mean,
no, we don't. No, all we know is they were wearing them at that moment, and but God bless them for wearing them. I mean, we should in response to this, we should have let's distribute 1 million MAGA hats as a response.
Yeah, we still can't get the diocese to talk to us. We've put in calls, emails.
Why won't they? They won't even talk.
Nope.
That's interesting. I mean, it seems to me talking is what helps resolve these things.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Hello to all the Facebook followers on Father's Priest Your Life Facebook page. You listen. Online, I was just telling them and Father during the break that it's really rough. It's very disheartening to see the language and the vile comments that people make and how fellow Catholics and other Christians are so divisive with each other. And this is so much of this is so evil, Father, because this is how the devil works. He divides and conquers.
Yes, and you know, I've said in many contexts, and I think it's getting worse, and I've said this in context also of my own dealings within the church, that rash judgment is one of the most, if not the most, prevalent sin among the family of believers within the church. We have got to take a look at this sin and our proneness to commit this sin. We rash judge one another so quickly, so easily, very often based on our own political prejudices. I mean, we've got to stop doing that. And, you know, whether it's something a priest did or didn't do or a bishop or a layperson or some, we're rash judging left and right and center. And that's you see that raising its ugly head in this particular incident.
Yeah, I had an email this morning on another topic. A woman wrote me and saw something about our Archbishop, who, as you know, is a very good man. And she said, if this is true, then he needs to just making all these rash judgments. I haven't had a chance to write her back. And I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
Take a breath.
Take a breath. Yeah, we have to take a breath.
Yeah. You know, first of all, what was in that article wasn't even true. And then to jump to the conclusion that you know, okay, bye-bye, hit the curb. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. This knee-jerk reaction that we're seeing so much is a very frightening to me. And I was telling your Facebook followers, I've never received so many vile, ugly emails that I have this past week. It's really bad, really bad. Yeah. Yeah. All right, we've got Caroline calling in from Pennsylvania. Caroline, what's your comment or your question for Father Frank this morning? Thanks for calling.
Hi, Teresa. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And hello, Father Cabot.
Hello.
Thank you for all your wonderful work.
You're welcome.
I just had kind of an upsetting experience last night. I was on the on Facebook, and a person I know had shared a comment of mine, and then some strangers I didn't know who identified themselves as Catholics came on. And they kept insisting that the boys were at fault because they didn't behave properly, that they messed up, and they were I think they said that they were chanting and making tomahawk gestures, and therefore they were at fault when the man and Mr. Phillips went up to them with the drum. And she also one person said that they thought that the young man, who I thought acted like a very good Christian young man, the young man who had to face the man with the drum, she thought that he was making a face that a sociopath would make. And I said, are you a clinical psychologist?
Sociopath?
Wow.
Yes. This is after we had a back and forth that took like an hour. I still couldn't make them understand.
No, there's some people that you're never going to get through. We only have a few minutes left, so I want to pick up on some of your comments. So this is just what I was saying before.
Yeah.
What Caroline's saying from Pennsylvania. This is how ridiculous this is.
It's ridiculous.
What is going on in people? And these are fellow Catholics.
Yeah, it's ridiculous and outrageous. It's just what we were saying before. People have to take a breath and stop reading into everything. You know, I mean, this is going too far.
You know what I think, Father? I think that a lot of people, as you said earlier, have their own innate prejudices and their own ideas about the particular people or politicians, and they want to, the whole confirmation bias, as I've been talking about a lot, they want to absolutely confirm that this is how people who support pro-life, conservative causes, this is how they act.
Mm-hmm.
This is who they are.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you have a powerful combination here of the, first of all, the abortion issue and the March for Life in and of itself are powerful enough. Then on top of that, you've got all the whole Trump phenomenon, you know, pro and con going on, and these two things, and plus the whole racism thing. So all these three things have collided in this particular incident, which is why it's so volatile.
So you're going to the Walk for Life West Coast. Any advice for those? We have a lot of people listening online across the country. Any advice for those who may find themselves in, heaven forbid, a similar situation?
Keep focused on why you're there. You know why you're there. Smile. Be at peace. Be focused on the Lord. And wear your MAGA hat if you have one with pride, you know. And as a matter of fact, to make a point, I'm bringing mine with me on that walk. But the point is that we're there. You know, the Walk for Life, I have an article on Life News. I'm sure many people go to Life News for their pro-life news. And I have an article comparing and contrasting the Walk for Life and the March for Life. The Walk for Life, of course, is smaller in size, and the focus is less policy-based. Obviously, in Washington, we have a lot of our lawmakers speaking, but there it's on the focus of abortion harms women, and that's why we'll have our Silent No More gathering.
Father, thanks so much. Safe travels, and look forward to hearing all about the Walk for Life West Coast next week. Can you join us? Father Frank Pavone,
yes.
PriestForLife.org, National Director, and to all of his Facebook followers. Ciao, ciao. We'll be right back. Going national and international in a few minutes. Stay tuned. To say that's a new one I've heard, a sociopath.
Isn't that unbelievable? So I tell you. Oh, boy.
Oh, tell all your Facebook followers to pray for me.
Yep.
Please.
Yep. They will.
All right, FF.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.